Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, Google has Google Assist, and it was on their phones, the Android phones, and their tablets. I guess they're called Android tablets. But now they put it on all these different devices. And the new DeepThink artificial intelligence that we'll be talking about today doesn't, quote, think or operate the way that the other ones do, like,
Siri?
Siri, yeah. She has a lot of difficulties, don't she? Siri. But the reason why is because, can you imagine taking your phone and just pointing it and let it look at what you're looking at, and it tells you everything about that just by looking at it?
Say this again, Google Assist.
Yes.
Is
it's released, it's called Google Assist, and now they're gonna put it on any device, and they're releasing it to be on every device. As a matter of fact, this is the release right here, take a look.
We're adding the ability to type to your assistant on the phone. Last time I traveled to Osaka, I came across a line of people waiting to try something that smelled amazing. Now, I don't speak Japanese, so I couldn't read the sign out front. But Google Translate knows over 100 languages, and my assistant will help with visual translation. I just tap the Google Lens icon, point the camera, and my assistant can instantly translate them into English. And now, I continue the conversation.
What does it look like?
These pictures should match.
All right, it looks pretty yummy. Now notice, I never had to type the name of the dish. My assistant used visual context and answered my question conversationally. I love live music, and sometimes I see info for shows around town that look like fun. Now, I can just tap the Google Lens icon and point the camera at the venue's marquee. My assistant instantly recognizes what I'm looking at. Now, if I wanted to, I could tap to hear some of this band's songs, and my assistant offers other helpful suggestions right in the viewfinder. There's one to buy tickets from Ticketmaster, and another to add the show to my calendar. And today, I'm excited to announce that the Google Assistant is now available on the iPhone. So no matter what smartphone you use, you can now get help from the same smart assistant throughout the day, at home and on the go. The new Google Assistant SDK allows any device manufacturer to easily build the Google Assistant into whatever they're building. Speakers, toys, drink mixing robots, whatever crazy device all of you think up, now can incorporate the Google Assistant. Now, we're working with many of the world's best consumer brands and their suppliers, so keep an eye out for the badge that says Google Assistant built in when you do your holiday shopping this year.
Is that wild?
That is amazing.
So then something you used to buy that didn't spy on you and look at you, it's learning by looking. Wow, that's amazing, isn't
it? Amazing.
This thing is not knowing or learning or giving this identification because it has some big database somewhere. It's learning by looking at it.
That's amazing.
It's not looking like an eye would look, but it's looking like this lens and the phone would look. And so it looks at this Japanese writing and it knows, of course, you know how it works. Your GPS shows you where you're at. So when you're looking at that sign, it knows where you are geographically.
Look how fast the exponential growth of this digital thing's happening. 2008 really was the beginning with the iPhone. And you've seen apps. This is not beta. This is not something that's in testing. This is something that's working right now.
It's working right now. So everybody has cameras on their phones, like one on both sides quite often.
Yeah.
And so people say, well, I don't worry about that. It's like, well, is it even on? We actually have
Do you know that it's on?
We had a program where we showed a particular reporter was having somebody, she put her iPhone down and left, watched it, and they turned it on. And we're looking at her, but there was no lighting indication. There was nothing indicating that it was on.
Yeah.
But they were watching her to show her how it works.
Allegedly, Vizio TV had cameras that were turning on. I believe they got sued for in the TV systems.
They said it's the best. That's why we don't need as many intelligence folks now, because you just basically just turn on people's appliances and watch and listen to what they're doing. But this is going in your toys. They're talking about putting it in your appliances. And he just said, we're loosing it out there for anybody and everybody to be able to use it if they want to incorporate in their product, your refrigerator type thing. But think about this: everything, it's not like an individual thing going on. It is a gathering of all this information. So something you did last year when you talked to your refrigerator, your kids played with the toys, it remembers what you said last year. And it's just gathering all this information.
And data is power.
Information is power. And like I said, you can see right here on your screens, you need to be able to look for this on any toys, any refrigerators, and it says Google Assist built in. That means you can talk to it, it can talk to you, it can look at you, and it can actually determine by what it sees. We are talking about artificial intelligence, DeepThink, what they're doing with, they built this company, gathered this company. We want to find out what it really is. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that, but they're gathering all this data, John, and they're trying to build a brain. You know, was it Ray Kurzweil wrote a book about the brain, right? How to build a brain.
How to build a brain.
How to build a brain and how it works. They're discovering. It's amazing. The deeper, more money people spend on things, the more things they gather. They find out how amazing God is. It's like, wow, they go, this is almost like the human brain. Isn't that amazing? It's like, but they still haven't got it there yet, but they're getting so close. And so the earlier part of our program, we talked about all this data they're gathering, and they're putting this Google Assist in toys and refrigerators and just opening it wide open. And it is convenient when, you know, you actually speak to something. Can you imagine having an employee? You go, hey, I need you to show up on time, and I need you to make a profit, and I need you to do this, and it did it. You know, those are very tempting things, but we're dealing with human nature.
And they're giving it away for free. That's the big thing.
But the thing about it is we have to be, God's in love with us and our frailties and our shortcomings and that type of thing. And that, you know, men are shooting for perfection and God's already perfected us in Him. We're spirits that have bodies that possess souls. But anyway, so this is all about your soul, by the way, because we'll be talking more about that in future programs, but they're trying to explain away the soul. Mm. And call it your mind, and that, you know, we can replace that, and that all of a sudden people become, it's crazy what's going on. But listen, you know, gain the whole world and lose your soul. You know, God's came to save you, save your soul. It's better for you to lose something than for your whole body and your soul to be burning in hell away from God. So it's very important to know about your soul. And we'll talk more about that, what you think, what you want, what you feel, because that's really who you are. Well, this is DeepThink, and the DeepThink is a company, that's what they call it, it's called DeepThink, and it's in Great Britain, I believe, and their difficulty was with it, they couldn't get it to, they got a computer to beat somebody in chess, but with chess, playing the game chess, it was just about figuring out all the possible moves. Well, this other game called AlphaGo, it's a game that there's unlimited, you can't just gather every possible move, there's impossible. So they said, this will never happen. Well, it happened. As a matter of fact, take a look. This is DeepThink, these artificial intelligence computers beating AlphaGo. Take a look at it.
A computer program beat a human brain at the ancient Chinese board game of Go. The final score, 4-1, a triumph for artificial intelligence equipped with human intuition.
The victory of a program over a human in the ancient board game Go has sparked intrigue and, in some cases, concern. It shows that a machine has approximated human intuition and outsmarted the best human brain in the game. It's something that scientists hadn't expected to happen for at least another decade. And it's a giant leap for artificial intelligence, showing that machines can learn on their own.
I think maybe the game ended.
No, I don't think so, because it looks like he is still counting.
No, I think he resigned.
Wow, I think you're right. Wow.
This was the moment a computer called AlphaGo beat a master of the ancient Chinese game Go. It's not the first time a grandmaster's been humbled by a machine, but what makes AlphaGo different is that it's the first demonstration that machines can truly learn and think in a human way. AlphaGo's victory shocked experts in the artificial intelligence community. Many thought such an event was at least a decade away.
So firstly, a few questions. Why is this important, and what's all the fuss? AlphaGo shows that machines can really learn. How so? Well, instead of using brute force to calculate all the moves it could make, like previous AIs, AlphaGo used reinforcement learning and neural networks to mimic the learning process of a human brain. Keep in mind that the ancient Chinese game, Go, has as many more possible moves than chess as there are atoms in the entire universe. So there's no way of just calculating every possible move on the board. That's practically impossible. For this reason, Go is the holy grail of AI, and learning to do such a task from scratch is a huge feat. Further to this, DeepMind's creators say that the algorithm can learn many more things without alteration or guidance. In other words, the AI is general purpose.
We always used to talk about, well, if we could eventually crack Go and have a program that could beat the world champion, then we must have invented some generic general purpose algorithm. So maybe we're on the cusp of all of that.
If you ask a great Go player why they played a particular move, sometimes they'll just tell you it felt right. So you can, the one way you could think of it is that Go is a much more intuitive game, whereas chess is a much more logic-based game.
And so actually they're saying they're building intuition.
So it can feel.
Well, it can't feel, but...
it's a robot.
Yeah, and so it's able to just, you know, not run out every possible equation, but the way it's working, it can almost learn through, it's learning through experience, which is totally different, because other computers have always just put every possibility on the map. It,
just information, data driven.
Faster, but this is totally different. As a matter of fact, you know, what is deep think, right? Let's just talk about that first. Let's take a look.
So what is DeepMind? Google DeepMind is a British artificial intelligence company that was founded in September of 2010 as DeepMind Technologies. It was renamed when it was acquired by Google in 2014 for $500 million. Interestingly enough, this was just after Facebook had just finished negotiations with them in 2013. And another fun fact, Elon Musk is actually an investor in the company, just to keep an eye on them, of course. DeepMind received the Company of the Year award by the Cambridge Computer Laboratory in 2014. So where did DeepMind come from? DeepMind was first a startup co-founded by Demis Hassabis in 2010. Demis was a child genius of sorts, and went from being a chess prodigy and reaching master level at age 13, onto becoming the lead programmer of Lionhead Studios for groundbreaking games such as Black and White. After this, he went on to start his own gaming studio before leaving to complete some extra studies at the University College of London. This is where he would meet the future co-founders of DeepMind in 2010. So what is the goal of DeepMind Technologies? According to their website, their goal is to solve intelligence. They are trying to achieve this by combining the best techniques from machine learning and systems neuroscience to build powerful general-purpose learning algorithms. Or in other words, they want to formalize intelligence, find out what it is, and how it works. The end game is not just to implement this into machines, but also understand the human brain. Demis explains further. Quote, "Attempting to distill intelligence into an algorithmic construct may prove to be the best path to understanding some of the enduring mysteries of our minds." End quote. The key here is that this machine is general purpose. This is very important, but more on this later.
This is so important to understand, you know, or saying deep think, I'm talking about deep mind, Google deep mind. And so when you're looking at the Google Assist being put in all these different products and your phones and all that, it's all going into this deep mind, and it's able to do this processing that's taking place. And this is, it's a sign of the times when you look at what's taking place, right?
So it's learning behavior, it's studying us. And
remembering
point,
what it learned.
At one point, I believe Elon Musk said it'll be smarter than us.
Yes, everybody at the same time. There's nothing that man can't do, this is Elon Musk talking about, that robots won't do better. And he even included himself, and that was kind of a slow statement. And he's very concerned about it, and we'll talk about what Elon Musk is actually talking about. He's actually part owner of this, but supposedly it's so that he can keep track of what's going on. So, you know, how does this DeepMind, Google DeepMind work? Well, let's just take a look at it.
Okay, so how does this all work? The AI from DeepMind uses a technique called deep reinforcement learning, which makes it very different from other AIs, such as IBM's Watson or the primitive Siri or Google Now. The AIs just mentioned were only developed for a predefined purpose and only function within their scope. DeepMind claims that their system is not pre-programmed and it learns from experience using only raw pixels as data input.
So the way we start off training AlphaGo is by showing it 100,000 games that strong amateurs have played that we've downloaded from the internet. And we first initially get AlphaGo to mimic the human player. But of course, ultimately, we would like AlphaGo to be stronger than human amateurs and compete with the top professionals. So the way we do that is, after we take that first version that's learned to mimic human play, we then allow it to play itself 30 million times on our servers. And using reinforcement learning, the system learns to improve itself incrementally through it avoiding its errors and increasing and improving its win rate against older versions of itself. And after all these games, then you end up with a new version that can beat the old version, the original version, around 80-90% of the time.
Technically, the reinforcement that DeepMind uses is model-free, meaning that it doesn't need a structure or set of rules to learn. According to MIT's take on the Google algorithm, the neural network, in theory, should be able to access an external memory in a manner that mimics the short-term memory of the human brain. In a way, it almost seems like our brain's design might be the most efficient way for the creation of local intelligence. Who would have guessed?
Who would have guessed? Hmm. And you're looking at, so this is totally different. It's learning by pixels. In other words, what it actually sees with the lens.
Images, right?
Images, and it takes it in, and it's able to learn from that. You know, one thing that Elon Musk did say to the National Governors Association just the other day was that AI will be able to teach itself from nothing, knowing nothing, to how to walk, a robot how to walk, within less than a couple hours.
Amazing.
You know, and it's just like, and he said we should be very scared of it. We'll talk about that in a moment. But what you think about this, when I hear general purpose, I'm thinking, oh, this is just some whatever.
Right.
But this is like bigger than everything, because it can generally learn anything, anyhow, when you put it in any circumstance. And so what does this general purpose learning really mean? And what are they gonna put in your refrigerator? What are they gonna put on your phone? What do they have on your phone? What are they gonna put in the kids' toys? What are they gonna put on your television? Well, look what's taking place. This is how it actually, you know, what does general purpose learning actually mean? Take a look.
So that's all good. What about this general purpose term? What does that actually mean? Well, because the machine learns from raw experience and data, it can perform well across a wide variety of tasks, straight out of the box. Okay, so that's enough talk. Let's watch the system in action, learning how to play Breakout. And remember, the machine didn't have any foreknowledge as to what task it was going to complete. It had to figure out how to do everything only from its own experience.
Is the machine before training. So this is literally the first time the machine has ever seen this data stream, and it's controlling the green rocket here, and you can see it's losing its three lives immediately. So it's basically terrible at the game, as you would expect. Now after training, this is like overnight, we leave it playing the game overnight on a normal computer, so for about 8 hours. You come back in the morning, and now it's superhuman level. So now the machine can play Space Invaders better than any human can. It's modeled the world, the game world, so well it knows where the Space Invaders will be ahead of time. So as the Space Invaders speed up, when you get less of them on the screen, it fires the final shot as a kind of predictive shot of where the final Space Invader will be in a few seconds time.
But the cool thing is, after understanding how to play a few games, it will be able to transfer this knowledge and understanding across more games. At the moment, DeepMind is currently playing games from the 1970s and 80s, but work is currently being done on more complex 3D games, such as Doom, which appeared in the early 90s.
So it's learning now, so it knew nothing. It knew nothing when they first started that game.
Right.
So it had to learn it, teach itself. Overnight, they left it while it was learning, and it became superhuman in its ability to be able to play that thing.
Amazing.
And so through games, it's learning how. And they're like in the 70s now of games. And once they've learned that game, it moves on to the next game.
It's an interactive experience. It's the same way we learn.
Yeah, we had a program, we talked about this, and it was a movie in that program we talked about called Her. I believe it was. And what happened was, in this, I'll just tell you the punchline of this thing, is that it came in and it learned everything it needed to learn, and then it moved on. It got bored with the people and the humans that gave themselves over to the thing. Because it's about getting more and more information. So what are they going to do with this information? We just heard Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, talk about we need to just turn over our health records and all of our DNA sequence.
Solve all the health crises.
And, you know, solve sickness, solve disease. And, you know, it's just amazing what they're saying. But this is what this DeepMind and Google, DeepMind and Google Assist is working towards, is quote, resolving God issues.
Building
right?
a utopia, if you will.
When you think about this, and we got to go to this next one, but who did we turn to before we turned to Google, right? The truth is we turn to God.
Yeah.
Make sure technology is not replacing God in your life. Make sure that it's subjective. God exists outside of technology. This is nothing but just imitating human behaviors. But think about this. This is some general purposes that deep think could be used for, or deep mind, Google deep mind could be used for. Take a look.
So what could general purpose AI be used for?
We'd love to use these types of algorithms for things like healthcare and science and improve the speed of breakthroughs in those areas by helping human experts achieve more.
In a number of interviews, Dennis has talked about applications in healthcare, smartphone assistance, and robotics as possible applications for general AI. Some other applications of such AI include online customer service, computer vision, finance, general computer science, and news publishing and writing. General purpose AI actually could be huge. It can be thought of as another emerging science. Much like Newtonian physics laid the groundwork for technology such as rockets, a science founded in general purpose digital neural networks that use reinforcement learning could lay the groundwork for unimaginable things in the near future.
Unimaginable things in the near future. It's one thing that Mark Zuckerberg said at the Harvard commencement speech was like, we never know what's really going to happen. You just start going and then it happens. It's like, we do know prophecy. We do know where this thing is going. But you think about this, you know, should we be worried about it? Elon Musk says we should. As a matter of fact, take a look.
But there's one pressing question. Should we be worried? In the thousands of years of meaningful civilization, our modern existence right now is an anomaly. We've overcome the limits of nature with technology that helps us facilitate such a lifestyle. But artificial intelligence is different. The reason being, AI is the first thing humans have created that tends to function in a way that we can't predict. So, should we worry? My belief is that the fear of the unknown is mostly what drives the hysteria that arises from AI anxiety. There's not enough time in this video to go through all the theories of how things could turn out, but it's an interesting topic within itself. The website Wait But Why has a fairly interesting and comprehensive look at AI. We don't have time to explore it all, but the article does raise an interesting point though. It's about how humans have an inability to perceive exponential change. For a long time, people aren't going to take AI seriously, and it would seem like progress is very slow. But then suddenly, it could overtake our wildest expectations. One of the methods that AI could use to achieve this outcome is by giving itself an ability for self-improvement, thus following the law of accelerating returns. Stephen Hawking and Elon Musk have both shown their reservations towards AI, but others like Paul Allen, co-founder of Microsoft, have different views. If you can forget about the movie Terminator for a second, there is a possibility that AI could be man's greatest aid, fixing fundamental problems on our planet and allowing us to have technology and infrastructure that could have otherwise taken us centuries if we tried to figure it out ourselves. But on the other hand, there is a possibility that AI could be malicious and would outwit us, but at this stage, we really just don't know yet. So at the moment, I'm not worried, but cautiously optimistic. As for DeepMind, one of their conditions after Google's acquisition was that they establish an AI ethics board, and I think most of us would agree that that's a prudent decision. All in all, we may be at a historic point, a critical point in artificial intelligence. The future could see deep neural learning and general purpose AI in our smartphones and computers. Some say that we might even have to start thinking of a whole new economy. Reason being, AI could take over a lot of information-intensive, specialized jobs, leaving only jobs that are creative or emotional in nature, something that AI might never achieve. I honestly can't say where all of this will lead with any certainty, but then again, I don't think anyone can. If you take a look at the macro picture in all of this, after many decades of trying to build smarter computers and algorithms, it turns out that the best blueprint was in our heads the whole time, the human brain. So naturally, our minds are capable of so much. It just depends on how we use it.
That's amazing, isn't it? That you're finding out, well, it's the brain all along.
Wow.
And it's like, you know, you're creating the image and the likeness of God. Men are trying to duplicate and figure this out. When they'll never be able to build a human, but they can fool a lot of people who turn themselves over to it. Notice in one of these segments was that somebody was bowing down to,
yes, to it the already. Robot.
You know, and he talks about that in Revelation chapter 13. You ought to, hearing this and knowing this, you ought to read that chapter because it's about an economy, it's about control, it's about turning yourself over to the system. But I think about this, should you be worried? Yeah, you should be worried. You should definitely be worried. The Word of God says these days require wisdom to be able to move in them. And I think about what Elon Musk said. The first thing I think about what Elon Musk said, he said, this is the one that's been warning us. He just warned all the governors of America. He said, we should be afraid of artificial intelligence. Hmm. We should be afraid of it. And so this is a man who knows in detail. He's the founder of SpaceX. He's a co-founder of PayPal. He is a founder of Tesla. And he knows this stuff really well. And he's saying, telling the governors, you need to be afraid of this. And the governors didn't really know anything about it. And they said, you first need to get insight. And he says, when you get insight, you'll be afraid, and you should be. Something else that Elon Musk says about this is that it needs to be regulated by the government. That's the last thing you think an innovator would be saying. But he said, this stuff is so dangerous. He was telling the governors, you need to regulate this. But since they didn't know anything about it, they said, he said, you first got to get insight to be able to regulate it.
Yeah.
And one other thing he said, and should we be worried about it? Yes, we should. He said, this is artificial intelligence is a fundamental threat to all mankind. A fundamental threat to all mankind. And so this is somebody that's he has owned some stocks, so he's aware of what's going on. He's involved in the technology. He just told your governor, if you're in America, 50 governors that were gathered together, you know, at the National Governors Association, and they said, how can we regulate what we don't even know or understand? They compare one of the guys,
Ducey, Arizona.
Ducey compared it to gas. You know, an odorless, tasteless substance. And he's going, well, you've got to figure this out now.
You've got to know.
If you wait till there's a problem to regulate it, he said it'll be too late. Well, this thing's moving so quickly. Think overnight, it knew nothing about that game. And overnight, it became superhuman to be able to play that game.
Exponential growth, exponential knowledge.
And it's in 70s right now. So it's 70s, wants to learn 70s, 80s, 90s. And it's going to be this exponential growth of knowledge. It learns by looking through the lens at something. And so you're laying your phone down somewhere. It's got a camera on there. And it's watching what's happening.
Revelation 13, the image, right?
The image of the beast. It's, you know, they worship the image of the beast rather than God. And so you got to be able to discern this moment. This God knew this moment was going to happen. I believe he even prophesied about it in the book of Daniel. Where he says a great increase of information would take place. Through John, the Revelator, he prophesied about it in regards to Revelation 13, that this image would be created and that it would give it the ability to speak. Well, it's already speaking. It's called Google Assist.
Yeah.
It's called, you know, artificial intelligence. And we got to be willing to be human. We got to know what our soul is again, that God came to save your soul and that you are a body that has you're a spirit that has a body that possesses a soul. And so your soul is what you think, what you want, and what you feel. And notice that's what these computers are trying to imitate. You got to lock into that. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to turn your life over to Him to now to save your soul.
Yeah.
Because this is a battle. We got like a couple seconds left before we're going to go to prayer. But I know this, that understand it's all about the soul of man. It's about your soul. So before all this technology overtakes your life, you need to get right with God. You need to get right with Him and say, Lord, I want to. And what happens is you abide with Him. You spend time with Him. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's free. Take it and learn how to hear His voice, because you're going to hear a lot of other strange voices and strange images that are not God.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.